On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name's Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
And this is the Bechdelcast, which you're listening to. My name's Jamie Loftus.
Oh God, we've already ruined it.
No, this is, that was, that.
No,
that was my
so
bit.
Far so good. Oh,
my bit.
Oh, God damn it.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're back. Caitlin just read her first Alison Bechdel book.
Oh, I didn't finish it. I started it.
Okay. Well, but just right at the top, we're not qualified to be doing this.
No.
Oh, but you know what we haven't mentioned in a couple weeks is our college degrees. I have one college degree.
I have two college degrees.
Okay, good.
Now that everyone knows, both of them are in film, so that's why we're qualified.
I'm not going to say what mine is in.
Okay.
Mine could be in anything. We don't know. I'm a woman in STEM. JK.
That's becoming a recurring, that's a motif of ours now, too.
Women in STEM?
Yeah.
Well, because any movie would become more welcoming to women if there were a character that was a woman in STEM.
Sure.
That's a foolproof movie theory. To get five nipples from us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, women in STEM were there, steampunk culture was not, and that's really all it takes to get me on board. So we're a podcast. We talk about the roles of women in movies.
Yeah, usually they're not portrayed very well, and we're here to call it out.
It's funny that it used to take us so long to say the premise, but yeah. Now it's just like
our podcast is still in its infancy. You know, we're still learning. We're getting better.
Okay.
Anyway, should we introduce our guest?
Yeah. Okay.
He has a show that he does at UCB called Shitty Jobs, and he was a writer for the show Workaholics on Comedy Central, Ben Rogers.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ben.
Now, because you are a straight white man, you are bound. We have strapped you to the chair, and you're only allowed to speak when spoken to. That's just one of the rules of our podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe I signed up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did send you the long list of rules.
I'll admit, I just skimmed it over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now
typical
here I am
man.
Strapped.
Typical
yeah.
man.
Well, we pepper spray you if you interject.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only rule. I just want pepper spray someone. That's on my bucket list.
Oh, really?
Along with flipping
the
table.
Do you have pepper spray that you, like, carry around?
No.
I mean, I'm really biting my tongue because you guys could have done a much better job taping me to this chair.
Okay, well,
I don't want to mansplain
okay.
it.
Maybe stop squirming so much.
Well,
the audio's going to pick up, and Aristotle's going to have a hell of a time because he's tied to his chair as well.
That's right.
This is hard. This is a hard chair
Maybe
to produce.
We should not have men a part of this anymore. We're just making more works for ourselves.
Nah, but it's like cardio for
us
to
tape. I'm glad I'm part of the discovery.
Struggling. Yeah, I mean, it's like because you put up quite a struggle, and we were able to, you know, flex our various... What are you... Name an arm muscle.
Delts. Nope.
Biceps.
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 That's a good one.
We're going to be...
What are
your delts?
Your delts? I don't know.
Your deltas?
Your deltas?
Deltoids.
What's
deltoids are back, I think.
Okay.
Back muscles.
Here's something that I don't know what the name
you
is.
You got your tries.
Your tries, your
oh
bis.
Oh, my God.
Your tries, bis, shoulders, and there's three parts of the shoulder.
Oh.
I'm having a panic attack. What's the name
of the... Let's talk creatine.
For real, what's the name of the muscle, the little... It's underneath your knee. And it's a little, it's maybe, I want to say it's a ligament, maybe. Anyways.
ACL?
Mine hurt. I don't
know. Your ACL? No. Your American Civil Liberty?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Mine hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just making a statement. Yeah, political statement. Okay, so we're talking about, well, wait, can I say the movie we're talking about? We should let Ben say it.
I want to say it. It's A Dog's Purpose. There it is.
Okay, have I not suggested A Dog's Purpose?
What, that we, like, watch it?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, maybe
that would be fun
else.
To break down the roles of the female dogs in the movie.
Yeah. Where do bitches stand in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's crazy because we're going to let Ben say it, but it's actually going to describe both of
us. Yeah.
Wild.
Take it away.
Yeah, do it.
So my pick was Single White Female. For some reason, I was thinking about how I'll never fulfill a childhood fantasy of living in a building with an old-fashioned elevator. It's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
I want to live in either like a cool airstream on the ocean or a building with an old-fashioned elevator. I'm starting to come to terms that both those things aren't going to happen. And I remembered that I was trying to think of some good old-fashioned elevator movies, which
was... So that was your criteria for this?
It was big in the 90s, and then you happened to email me, and I was like, oh, this would be good
Perfect
for this.
Perfect excuse, yeah.
Good for this podcast.
This movie came out the same week I was born.
Wow.
Wild.
Wow.
I know. I wish that my mom was at a screening of it when I was born, but...
She would have named you Hetty.
She would have named me Hetty, but I was a C-section. Did I ever tell you I was born twice?
What?
I'll tell you another time.
That's insane.
You were born twice, so like they C-section and then put you back in.
Yeah.
And then you came out?
A vaginal birth?
No, this is true. Okay, so my mom had to have this like experimental womb steroid put in her to have me, and so she had to fly down to North Carolina from Boston like 2 months before I was actually born, and they like took me out and checked, and they're like, the experiment's working, and they put me back in. And
that's why you have these huge biceps.
That's why I'm very strong.
You have huge biceps.
I'm spiritually strong, but I'm also extremely buff.
That is insane. I've never heard anything like that. Wow.
And then, here's the best part. The doctor who invented those womb steroids later gave the first successful penis transplant.
Oh, wow.
I would like to credit myself.
Yeah, you're a part of
the
first
inspiration.
You were part of that.
He saw this fat little baby. He's like, you know what I should do next? On to the next conquest.
Yeah. Save this baby. Now I'm going to save a penis.
Now I'm going to save this guy.
Under what circumstances would you need a penis transplant? Like if yours got chopped off? What?
I kind of remember that story. It was like his dick burned off.
2 years ago. My God.
It was like some tragic accident.
Okay, I'll look it up. But my dad texted me that.
I'm totally wrong. Like,
my dad.
Just some weird story I made up.
He's like, actually a cancer survivor.
Guys, oh, that is
really?
It. Yeah, that is it.
His penis wasn't burned off.
Yeah, that is it.
In a house fire. Uh-huh.
I created a horror story of like a guy all fucking burned up.
Here's a great.
He's like, please save my dick.
First American to have penis transplant says it's starting to take shape.
Oh,
I love it. My dad texted me that article when that like happened early last year. And he was like, did you know this was the guy? This guy's the reason you're alive. I was like, whoa.
Was he like an OBGYN? And then he was like, I'm going to switch to other genitals.
I don't know. I mean, he was a surgeon of some.
I see.
Manner.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah. He's like,
because that's really.
All
yeah.
These vaginas.
What if I was
go
too fat a baby?
Oh, see, I saw it as like, you know, we're all the same.
Oh, that.
One,
right, that kind of fits in with the podcast.
Right. Oh, see, that's nice. I was going to say, maybe I was just a big... The womb steroids worked a little too well, one might argue. I was an 11-pound baby.
Wow.
I know.
That's insane.
Wow.
That's too big.
Is it because you were so... You're tall. Is it because you were like a long baby?
Well, are you tall because of the steroids?
Excellent question. I don't know. It also
you're
calls...
intimidating. You're here. You're pounding
Thank
Mike's
you.
Harder lemonade.
That's true. And I do that almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except the time we both. Well, no, you.
Last week I drank some Hennessy.
Yeah. You had me beat real good. You were not chugging, but like swigging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was walking into essentially a drinking contest.
This is a speakeasy, essentially. The speakeasy above a comic book shop.
Two wasted, soft-spoken ladies.
Single white females.
Single white females, thank you.
Slowly poisoning themselves. Ooh, that was a good transition.
That was great.
Thank you.
So single white female, what did you guys think?
Well, first we talk about...
Caitlin summarizes the movie.
Slimmer down, Ben.
I'm curious, because I was watching, the whole time I was watching, I was like, they're going to fucking hate this.
No. I went into it thinking I probably would,
okay.
But I actually, I would go so far as to say I liked it.
I went into this movie with no context at all. I'd never heard of it. And then, so I just turned it on without reading anything in advance, and I liked it too.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's
yeah.
a rare experience you don't have to get often.
You can tell, we were saying before you got here that it's hard to tell what genre the movie is at first, and, mm-hmm. and that was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, I enjoyed it.
This is the first time in Bechdelcast history where neither of us had seen the movie prior to
That's true.
The episode. Usually Jamie hasn't seen the movie.
And one time I didn't even watch the movie.
Whoops.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, The Matrix.
Listen at The Matrix episode if you want to hear me.
Did
really,
you admit?
Not until
not for like
very
3 months.
There's...
Oh, wow.
I did an okay job.
Yeah, I would have never known. Luckily, our guest was very talkative, and then he and I were just talking most
oh,
of the
trust
time.
Me.
And then
it was mostly you guys, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just here sweating more than usual.
Well, anyway, single white female, just watched it a couple days ago. I don't think I'd even heard of it either.
I don't think so. I think when you emailed us, that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this sounds like a familiar
thing. I weirdly reference it a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do people know what you're talking about?
Now I'm realizing probably not. They're probably just like, why does this guy keep saying single white female? I often describe people's friendship as single white female.
I feel like people could think you were saying a number of things when you say that.
Yeah.
Just like announcing what you're looking for. Any single white females around?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. You could just sound like a pervert.
One of the many things I do to sound like a pervert.
Oh, that's nice. It's based on a book called SWF Seeks Same.
Which I'm glad the movie had the sense to take that part out of it. Yeah. Because it would be pretty racist otherwise. A single white female to also seek another single white female.
It's just such, and it's such a terrible title for even whoever wrote, the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told him single white female is a far superior title.
Yeah. I don't even know if single white female is a good title either. Better than
SWFC Same.
Yeah, true.
So wait, do the you haven't done a summary in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Single white female is about a young woman who is living in New York City. And I didn't write one down for this one. So this is all memory.
Oh, I like
baby.
It. Yeah. Freestyle.
Okay. So she's living in New York. She has a boyfriend. She finds out that he has cheated on her that day.
No.
And she's like, get out of here, man.
Aww.
So she puts out an ad for a roommate. A few people come by. Not all of them are great.
One of them seems
okay.
One of them seems like she's going to pick her before the actual one shows
cool
up.
Moment.
That was weird.
The main character, Allie, ends up picking this woman named Hetty to be her roommate. And then Hetty shows some problem areas. Does she? She does. Like, weird things start to happen. She starts dressing like her. She kind of, gets a dog without letting anyone know. She presumably throws the dog off a balcony.
Presumably. She definitely does.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't see it on
we
screen.
We didn't see it.
But she probably definitely did that. She
did she?
You don't.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna die on this hill. She did.
And then, meanwhile, she gets back with her. Allie gets back with her boyfriend, and then they get engaged. That makes Hetty even more crazy. And then there's some violence, and there's some. This is not a good recap. I should have prepped it.
She's just trying to have it
you
all.
You hit the major points,
thank
I feel
you.
Like. No,
she's just trying
you got
to have it.
It
all.
Yeah.
But you can't. And we learn this again. And, you know, we learned that, and I thought this when I was watching it today, and I was like, say that later, Jamie. You save that for the cast. I thought to myself, the only thing that single white females have to fear is single white females themselves.
Wow.
I know.
Profound.
It's not adapted from anything. It's just something I thought.
All right. I'm going to fact check that later. I feel like maybe you stole it, but.
I didn't. I would never steal.
Mm-mm.
That's the thing.
Anyway, so the movie, that's the story. Basically, this roommate who moves in with Allie is a crazy person, although let's not necessarily use that as a label. But
yeah, it's a little insensitive. I didn't expect that kind of tone on this podcast.
I know.
Especially where the story goes. I mean, it really makes you feel for her. She's got borderline personality disorder.
Definitely. She is dealing with a childhood trauma where she maybe also drowned her sister. Maybe it was an accident. Who knows?
This is like how we met, kind of.
When
you started
to try to drown
all my clothes. And you threw my hamster off a balcony. But we ended up being great friends. It ended a little
And you
different.
Killed the other baby in that womb during the second birth, right?
I ate the baby, yeah. I assumed that that was how. I was so ready for her to say, but I absorbed the twin. But, you know,
no, yeah, she drowned her. They opened on, a weird shot of the two girls, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're putting makeup on each other.
Yeah, they're putting makeup on.
Yeah.
So, wait, when did you see this movie for the first time, Ben?
In the mid-90s at some point. It was a frequent cable movie, I feel like. This is the era of the erotic thriller. So this is, it came out the same year as Basic Instinct. And it was, and there's a lot of nudity in the movie.
Yes.
Surprisingly, which I didn't remember, which definitely would factor into me as a kid wanting to watch this. And all the soft core movies of the era, which you know, this is a great 90s timepiece. Like, there's a lot of really funny moments, but it definitely is the kind of movie that I think this is the erotic thriller at its peak. Before there was internet porn, before everybody could see like hardcore pornography everywhere, people would go to the movies. Basically, HBO ate it up. I feel like what you would see now in Game of Thrones, people would go to see like Sliver or Single White Female. This is like one that I feel like doesn't get talked about as much, but is part of that era.
Right.
Lots of sex and silhouette.
Yeah.
A lot.
Lots of like where you can just make out like sweaty backs.
Right. And you're just like, oh.
And a trope that you often point out, Jamie, is in specifically like horror thriller movies, girls in tank tops where you can see their hard nips.
Oh my God.
So much of that in this
Wet
movie.
Girls in tank tops that are scared. Yeah. Happens so much.
It's basically every scene in this movie.
Oh, I noticed.
Yeah, this movie is made to titillate.
Yeah, lots of hard nips.
A lot of hard nips.
Lots of hard nips. You do get to see.
And everybody looks at each other like they want to fuck throughout the movie.
At all times.
All characters. Even some of the, like, did you guys notice in that scene where Hetty goes to cash her check, I think?
Yes.
And the girl's kind of flirting with her at the check's cash. Like, there's, like, weird sexual tension between them.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
Wow, everyone wants to fuck in this movie.
Yeah.
1992 is very horny. I get it.
Listen, I was born.
Right.
I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure it was like a test tube. But anyways, I was talking to my mom about this movie on the phone last night because I was telling her I had to watch it. And she was like, oh, who's in that movie? And I was like, oh, it's Bridget Fonda and Jennifer Jason Leigh. And my mom said what she always says about women that she does not think are very attractive. And she said, oh, yeah, like Jennifer Jason Leigh has like a very earthy beauty.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is what my mom says when like a woman
is a real mom dig.
Like, yeah, when a woman is like bathed and like relatively symmetrical, but my mom still finds her unfuckable, earthy beauty.
Earthy.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it without like hurting someone's feelings too bad.
I think she's great in the movie. I think both actresses are really good,
yeah.
And it's good casting. I think she does pull off. I mean, it's also. Because I'm sure if she walked into like this room right now, we would all be like, oh, wow. And she's what, 20 years older? Mm-hmm. We would all be like, she's so beautiful. But they do a really good job of, and I guess this is like wardrobe and like the makeup department, of making her look like a more frumpy and like awkward.
And they look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And,
they're able to flip that or towards the end where it's like, oh, wow, she looks great.
Although who, like, it was a very fun 90s trope that it's like, oh yeah, this is the haircut you want to replicate. Like,
terrible
this,
haircut.
Like, I want to look like I'm wearing a bicycle helmet at all times.
Bridget Fonda is beautiful, and it's like,
you'd never know.
Just got this weird, like, clown haircut.
One of my notes was that for a movie where the characters are like, work in a and in like fashion adjacent, there are an awful lot of bowl cuts.
Can we talk about her job, by the way?
Clip-on earrings. Yeah.
Can we talk about her career of like, it's fashion stuff.
Fashion web design.
We do fashion-y computer thing. The computer aspect of the movie is great. Like, because she puts her, like, I guess it's a want ad in the newspaper, but she does it through email, which is like to show us that she's a tech savvy person.
Yeah.
And this is like one email, like no one knew what the fuck it was. And like, and so she has this computer business that has something to do with fashion.
They, right.
they're very loosey goosey about it.
I think you can like design fashion on the computer. I don't know.
There's so many questions I had about her job that eventually, like, I mean, I guess the movie did what it was supposed to. Eventually, I just let go of those questions and was like, you know what? She owns her own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did like that about
You're right. I was like, business? At first, you're like, what the fuck is this? And you're kind of distracted at the way, like, technology is advanced and like, oh, yeah. But after, you know, in the third act, you don't care.
I would love to ask someone in 1992, does this make sense to you as something you would find potentially useful?
Because I mean, the software is so dated that, like, who knows what
who knows?
It was.
I mean, we still do it in movies, and it's
right.
Even, right. It's like computers do whatever you need the story to do.
Exactly.
Like, and there's magic. Oh,
enhance.
This person has a super computer.
Yeah. I love it when there's, like, a photo that's not high resolution, but they're
the 24
like enhanced
thing. Yeah.
And then like it's still like crystal clear, and they're like, oh, it's that person. Oh. Ooh, mystery solved. But I do like that her job, she has her own business, and she is, I guess, a software developer, question mark? Hard to say.
And they,
either way.
She has an email account. That we know.
She used to have a partner, and they had a rough split. There's a couple of small things that they have to put in there that I feel like are going overboard to protect, like, why she's so stuck with this new roommate. The first scene where she's with her boyfriend, I can't remember his name.
Sam.
Yeah. Who's Steven Weber plays him from Wings.
Who's let
he's
off
great.
The hook repeatedly for, like, the movie lets him off the hook again and again. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
She says that she doesn't have any friends except him. Mm-hmm. And that's the only friend that she needs. And then even late, like when she's at this job interview, she's talking about how she and her partner have like a bad split up.
Yeah.
And so she needs all these new clients, and she has a bad reputation, I guess. But I feel like they went out of their way to like, she could also have friends and still have a fucking crazy roommate.
Right. Yeah. I assumed at first, and I don't know if this is what we were supposed to do or like where my mind just went immediately, that her, like, the friend breakup that she had would be relevant at some point. Like, I assumed the two little girls at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh, maybe that's Bridget Fonda and her
twin
friend
who looks exactly like her.
I don't know. I was, well, because you find out that the twin was actually alive past birth so late in the movie. God, that it, like, contextualizing that scene takes a long time.
I just thought of another weird, like, I guess a homoerotic scene where, or like just sexual tension between two women is when that they do a montage of different girls coming to potential roommates. And one is like hilariously butch, like lesbian that's like talking about fixing stuff up.
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
Yeah. And she's wearing like a biker jacket and has a bandana on. And then the next person, so they like kind of, I felt like overcompensated with like, hey, this is a lesbian. And then the next person like looks her up and down.
Yeah.
And it's like,
she's like a very hot, horny lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like back to back. Like, that's so weird.
And then like a feminist caricature comes in.
Oh, yeah. She's
and
like,
I'm an incest survivor.
I don't remember it, but I'm pretty sure I was.
My therapist says I'm a survivor of something. And then she's like, I don't cook. Cooking's oppressive.
That montage was great. Yes. And they're all like, they give this hot, super hot girl no lines.
No.
She just looks her up and down like, you want to fuck right now? It's so weird.
It is. Really, like, in what world? I don't know. It was crazy.
And so all that leads to the girl from Heather's, who's like the one normal girl. And then she's like about to call. And then I think Sam calls her.
She sees a photo of him on her fridge.
Right, yes, that's what...
And then
Hetty walks in
crying.
And she's crying, and then they like fix the sink together and get all wet and like show their nipples off.
They get all wet, and then they're giggling, and then there's a little hug.
That's how
and
you
you're
become
like,
roommates with someone.
I get it. You guys want to, you know, tweak each other's. I was honestly surprised that they did not make out in this movie. I was fully expecting
them.
They kiss towards the end when she's tied to the chair.
As you are right now.
As I am right now. That's why I'm thinking of it.
Right.
She distracts her by kissing her for a second.
Right. But that was like,
it's not like a make out.
I was expecting like the full black swan.
Oh, yeah. Not quite that intense. But yeah, she like kisses her. It's actually a very clever diversion.
It's a clever ruse by her.
Can we talk about Sam for a second?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he cheats on her with his ex-wife. But from there on out is made out to be a pretty sympathetic character where, you know, at first Allie is like, no, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to take you back. I have a roommate now, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, it turns out, like, oh, he wrote you a letter to apologize. So,
yeah, her getting back with him
back.
Is very
like,
abrupt.
It's very
which I think is
strange.
More a problem of just like kind of sloppy storytelling than anything, but it happens very abruptly. What I do like about that, though, is that you see that she's engaged because you see her diamond ring, but you do not see that scene play out on screen.
Well, I think they were engaged at the start of the movie.
They were, yeah.
Because that's part of the reason why he was talking to his... So Sam cheated on his ex with his ex-wife.
Yeah,
and they right. were, I think, like he was telling her that she's going to get engaged, and then they slept together. And so that threw Allie off.
So it's like, yeah, but like, don't get back together with that guy. Allie,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
So they were already engaged. Okay.
They were already engaged. Classic story. Somebody cheats. She takes him back. I mean, hey, some people do that.
Hey, yeah. he gets his.
He does get his.
He gets stabbed in the eye with a high heel shoe.
That is really unexpected.
It's would that have killed him? Would that have killed him?
Maybe if it had like penetrated his brain. But
if it goes deep enough in
there. You have to like.
Really? I was really surprised that he.
Whack him with it. I feel like it takes a little more force.
I was surprised that he died immediately, but then somehow the gay best friend didn't die. That was the injuries. Who knows?
A bit confusing.
But I thought for sure the gay best friend is dead. Maybe the fiance will come back to life, but it was the opposite.
You know who survives is the cat.
The cat keeps Graham company in that bathtub.
That was so nice.
And it was
nice.
Very honorable of that cat. That's like,
I
expected
eating
the cat
him.
To start eating him. Yeah.
I think that the cat waits a couple days. Isn't that the rule?
It's like something like 4 days for a cat and like right, 6 right. days for a dog.
It's like when
like
you
that.
Go on a date with dogs someone, you have to wait 3 days to text them back. It's the same with cat. You got to wait
3 days to text them back? That's
what?
The rule now?
I don't know.
That's so mean.
So
I mean,
long.
I don't.
I would be like, I thought
I don't
we weren't dating
to it.
Anymore.
I thought we don't.
I thought you were blowing me off. You're ghosting me.
If someone took 3 days, I would fully assume... I'm like, well, this didn't go as well as I thought it did.
Yeah, it's an old rule. I never subscribed to it at all. So
I thought it was like 2 days to call somebody or like text them after you first get their like info.
Maybe.
Oh,
that
maybe
was the
like
rule
the
I
initial
always, like,
one.
Like the initial, like the give initial. Me your number. You like wait a day.
That makes sense. Okay. That one that makes it. But like once you hang out with someone, if you have fun with them, no,
why wait?
Text
why
them
wait?
The next day.
I mean, that's the advantage
we're
of texting.
We're on the brink of nuclear war.
Hey,
let's speed things up.
No time to waste.
We're taking a serious detour, but I want to get your opinion on this since we're on the subject.
Oh no.
I feel like I usually, if I'm asking somebody for their number or something, I will text them. I'm not going to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to break up with that person and you've never talked on the phone, do you then call
text?
On the phone or do you
no.
text?
You meet them face to face.
No.
But what if you're not even at that point?
No. Oh, if you're not at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If the relationship never went past texting, don't suddenly call because then you know something's wrong. You're like, wait, we don't.
But shouldn't
call
you
each
know
other.
Something is wrong?
No, just they'll know when they read the text. I say this because I very recently did it. I was like, well, we only text each other, so I'm just going to text him and then he'll know. And that is how it went.
I'm saying like you're at the stage of like still kind of feeling each other out of like, and the person's like, hey, you want to do something? And then you have to be like, no.
Oh, so if you're still in that stage, yeah. I don't
but
think
I've definitely
it warrants a
like
phone call.
Heard some people have blowback to that of like, you're doing this over text.
Oh, see, I would
I
rather
think it's just
they
their
do it
hurt
over
ego.
Text. I don't. Yeah, I would rather someone like if it's a real like an actual relationship mm-hmm. that's different and, you know, break up with me to my face so you can watch me cry.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Because that's what I need you to see. But if it's just like a flirtation, it's like if you don't want to hang out again, don't tell me with your voice. Ugh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
recovering
just like,
from breakups is hard and it's a big part of single white female.
It's true.
She's devastated. True. When
to
Sam
the point
cheated
where she cries
her.
In like three different scenes.
She cries a lot.
She does.
She rips the sheet off her bed.
She's like, no.
Oh, this is how I have to cope with this. My sheet,
no.
My bed can't have sheets.
I like that. I appreciate. It's like I don't want my bed smelling like this person
yeah.
that cheated on me.
Oh, that is probably.
And they just fucked on it, and now she's finding out like he fucked some other woman. Yeah, that
I do
out.
Love that the reason she finds out is because of an answering machine mishap.
Oh, there's a lot of good answering
machine
stuff.
Yeah, because when like Jennifer Jason Leigh,
she erases.
It.
I miss like, answering machines. Call.
What I did like, I think it's one of the very first scenes, is his ex-wife calls, Allie answers, and we're used to seeing in movies, if there's an ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife or something, a very like bitter, petty relationship between the two, like, oh, the ex and the new girlfriend, and they like hate each other and they're jealous of each other. And I like that Allie's just like, oh, it's your ex-wife. Why don't you talk to her?
I think this movie takes a pretty sympathetic view of almost every character, even the fucking sleazebag, like, has a heroic moment.
Oh,
of, like,
you mean Ned Ryerson?
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
And his name in this movie is Mitch Meyerson.
Mitch Meyerson. So Stephen Tobolowsky of the popular podcast, The Tobolowsky Files, right? He does that stuff.
Does he have a podcast? Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe it's not that popular. That was such a wild moment. Yeah. Where it's like, is the rapey guy gonna end up
saving
the movie?
That's where you're like, they can't do that. They can't make this guy save the day.
Right.
Which they don't.
No.
But
it's fun to
plot-wise, that's insane that they're like, you know how we're gonna get someone to figure out that she was kidnapped. Let's give him a redeeming moment. Yeah.
He's fucking pissed off that she's, like, trying to get paid for her work.
Right. In a 20-minute segment, not full segment, but both he and Sam shout, "You fucking bitch!" when someone wrongs them.
Yeah, in a sexual manner both
in
times.
In a sexual manner. Oh, I mean, granted, what Jennifer Jason Leigh did was...
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
I think it qualifies getting called a fucking
That was
bitch.
More justified. But I'm still just like, he shouldn't be back with Bridget Fonda anyways. She shouldn't have taken him back, but I guess that's her problem.
I mean, that's a larger conversation of whether you should take a cheater back. I don't know. I mean, some people do.
We don't know.
We're not here, but that's not what this podcast is about.
I wouldn't
about.
Do
for
it
me,
myself.
Say a hard
I wouldn't
no.
Do it.
That's a hard no. For
See,
me.
I,
know
I would be out. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, sexuality is fluid, whatever.
Oh my God.
Someone else.
Grow up.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Jennifer Jason Leigh's insidious blowjob.
You were talking about how Sam's ex-wife is portrayed sympathetically, but also Hetty at the end of the movie is portrayed. She fucking kills all these people and they still kind of give her a like, she's just crazy. Please forget. We could all go crazy.
Right.
Wait, so it's not so much that I was saying that his ex-wife was portrayed sympathetically. It was more that Allie, we don't see her being like this jealous,
yeah, she's,
like this petty
she's not a, she's,
woman. I was like, that's nice to see on screen. We're not used to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's comfortable with the fact that he has an ex. Yeah. And as far as the story goes, it makes it that much more devastating that like she should have been fucking
That's why
upset
being
about it.
Chill is not helpful. If you're chill, someone's fucking someone else.
No,
and you just don't know.
I disagree. I'll never knock being chill.
That's why I'm always on high alert. I'm always like,
no, I don't want to put that out. I'm not putting that out in the universe.
Did you betray me? Wee-oo. Likely, yes.
You know what? Probably.
What?
Anyway.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
personal.
That like
Ouch.
Someone that, like people are always betraying you. I'm
no,
just
it's
saying
okay.
It happens
like I'm very betrayable person.
Everyone
I feel
betrays
like you guys
everybody.
Have this podcast
I somehow
just, like, tell
don't
each other, give each other life notes.
I somehow don't have what it takes to not be betrayed.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that everybody's a piece of shit. Everyone
except for me, right?
Except for you.
Okay, thank you. Please tell me I'm perfect.
You are perfect, and I don't even have
thank
to.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I think you're perfect too.
Oh, Jamie. Oh, all right.
God,
surreal that single wife female
Aristotle.
Moment.
You're perfect too. Ben, we don't know each other.
Yeah,
though.
We don't really
I can't
know.
Say for sure. We don't know.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I'll let you guys in on my secret.
Well, that's why you're bound.
Yeah. I'm bound. Waiting for everybody's nipples to get hard.
So, okay, I want to talk about the scene where Hetty forcibly gives Sam a blowjob. Mm-hmm.
Classic scene.
I would say
this is kind of what this movie is known for.
Okay, so that's like the famous...
That's like the famous scene.
Gotcha.
Did I miss how did she get into his hotel room?
Well, she looks so much like Allie. So she... gets obsessed with Allie so much and like her dead twin that she like starts dressing like her. There's a great scene where Allie realizes that she and Hetty both have the same clothes now. Allie basically bought all her same outfits.
Yeah.
Then she went to a hair salon and got an identical short haircut and dyed her hair like orange. right?
Yeah, like, she got the same terrible haircut.
And so then she just swoops into Sam's building, and the security guard is like, lets her in because, like,
oh, that's
just
his apartment.
Yeah, that's his apartment.
Okay, because I assumed it was a hotel.
And
it is called Hotel Atherton, so I get it.
Okay. Oh, is it a hotel? Well,
I'm not sure. He's
probably just long term staying there because she gave him the boot. They kind of have like that. Hetty just steals a lot of keys. Like, that's just part of her character. She's got keys to fucking everywhere.
She stole the letter that Sam sends to Allie with keys in it. So I think that's how she had access to his.
That was keys to Allie's
place, like, because he moved out.
Oh.
So what I was assuming is, like, in my head, I justified it by she just, like, went to the doorman and was,
because
and, like,
he recognized
walked by.
Her later, yeah.
And he, and he was, because he called her, like, you know, Mrs. Jones or whatever.
Buzzed her in or something.
Yeah.
What confused me about that scene is that, okay, by the time Sam figures out it's not his fiance, he's about to nut. Mm-hmm. I get that he nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost there. I get it.
Okay.
Afterwards, he simply rolls over.
Yeah.
Why
The aftermath of that is really weird.
Very
well,
confusing.
She gave such an incredible blowjob. He's all out of sorts.
I need a moment.
Well,
and
so
he's also jet lagged. He was just on a trip.
I think you're cutting him a lot of slack there. He rolls over when he's like,
I think you're
this
cutting him slack by he knew that it wasn't Allie.
Well, I just think it's a cool choice for him to.
I still think he would cheat on her. I do think that's true.
I give the movie credit that they didn't have, like, it would have been lame if he came and then she popped her head up and it was not his fiance.
Like,
I thought it was cool that, like, he sees her and is like, oh no. And then he's like, oh, I can't stop.
I gotta come anyways.
That made it so much.
That was problematic.
So much more tension and, like, and so much more conflict there of, like, okay. She kind of proves his point, like, in her crazy mentality. Like,
we're all
she
just trying to come, guys.
Right.
It's all good.
What?
I wasn't upset that he came. I was upset that he rolled over. I was like, you should kick her out. Like, why are you so
and
quiet?
And then she's, like, feeling his chest as.
Yeah. And he's not pushing her.
Yeah.
I thought the choice, like, from either, like, the script or the actor was just, like, to be. He's so in shock of, like, oh no, I just fucked up so bad that he doesn't know what to do.
Right, like, just
I almost interpreted it as it was, like, sort of sexual assault in that, like, he kind of resisted, but, like, also kind of didn't.
I think could argue that it was. Like,
was,
I think that if
yeah,
he
was raped. He was raped by her.
Like, I kind of.
He was fooled into a blowjob.
Under
which lasted
pretenses.
10 seconds.
He was like, I know
she's,
this helmet
she's
haircut.
Great. She's great. She goes to that S&M club and just fucking sucks dick the whole time.
Oh, the S&M club.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. It was like, oh, yeah, of course she goes to this. Like, it didn't. It
that
took
was,
me forever to figure out it
was
an S&M
wild
club.
Scene. What a fun movie. It's just, I miss this era of movies. Like, they just don't make weird movies like this. And this was a commercial movie.
And this is like a
movie.
Mainstream Columbia. Yeah.
I'm
like,
so surprised it's not more famous. I get, like,
I want to make other people watch this movie.
I
like, really did enjoy it.
I just miss, like, I do like when there was some element of weird sexual tension, just like movies being a little bit more risque, which they aren't now. They're all pretty watered down. I mean, there's more risque stuff on cable, but it's just.
Well, something interesting
like,
about this.
Pretty tame when you go to the movies.
Something interesting about this movie to me was like that. I mean, I feel like if this movie was made now, because a very, very similar version of this movie that I did see that was very bad called The Roommate came out when I was in college, and it was about a college roommate.
Right.
Zoe Owen.
I read that that movie was criticized for copying this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like basically the same movie, but way worse. But it's weird. I feel like if people made this movie right now, it would be like stigmatized for like, well, mental health and first of all, I love mental health. I realized that I had a bipolar pill lodged in my laptop when I took it out. However, I, like, you know, if that were the basic like yardstick, then there wouldn't be movies like the one where Kathy Bates goes nuts or the one where Glenn Close goes nuts.
Mm-hmm. Misery, and Fatal Attraction. You know what else I think the like movies. Kind of male version of this movie is Cable Guy.
True.
Like pretty similar.
I've never seen Cable Guy.
And it's like unfortunate, but I really do enjoy all of those movies where someone just fucking goes nuts. Yeah. And those don't come out very much anymore, I feel like, for that reason.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. Problematic opinion? Why, Jamie?
I just do. I feel like I see, like I said before, a single white female relationships pop up here and there of like, you realize your roommate's dressing exactly like you now or picking up all these qualities. Like you can see that amongst a bunch of friends where it starts to get a little stalkery. And I find it fascinating. And I do feel like this movie kind of hits something in that zone that is real.
Yeah, it's all exaggerated, but it's so, I don't know. I was put off by way less of it than I expected to be put off by.
But we were talking about a scene where she goes to, she follows Hetty, Allie follows Hetty to an S&M club, and she's very uncomfortable there. And I can't, some woman comes on to her and is like says something like, you want to play or something like that. I can't remember what exactly she says. And then she sees Hetty hitting on a guy that looks just like Sam. And she's like, you look like my sister's fiance. It's just a really nice extra creepy layer that you throw on there.
Oh, it's and then like people, doesn't someone call Hetty Allie in that scene? Am I making that up?
I think a few people are like, well, I thought you were like, I think Graham, the gay friend upstairs does.
Graham, I loved Graham. At first I thought, I didn't know. At first when Graham is overhearing Sam and Allie break up the first time at the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, this guy is a weird person who lives upstairs.
Yeah.
But then he turns out to be this amazing guy who in like the end of the second act is like, by the way, I hear you fuck a lot.
The fucking listening through the vents ends up being an important story point.
Plant and pay.
But
off,
it turns
maybe.
Out she didn't know because apparently Graham either doesn't fuck a lot or goes to a second location. Yeah. We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Graham's a class act.
He's a class act.
I mean, he fucks real quietly out of respect for his neighbors.
Classy people fuck in silence.
Uh-huh.
Well, he mentions at the beginning that he doesn't have a guy to fuck, so he's like, I'm single.
We want a Graham spinoff movie.
I know.
Single, gay man.
Somebody write some Graham fan fiction where it's Graham and his cat, and he's talking about all the crazy people who've been in and out of this building.
Graham truly is, first, an amazing friend.
Yeah.
Like, he calls his psychologist friend at, like, 11 at night and was like, listen, there's a situation going on with my friend. I'll put her on. And then I'm glad that he wasn't murdered.
Yeah.
In the end.
He survives, right?
Yeah,
he does survive.
He saves her.
Does the...
And I did see that the writer of the movie is gay, and I'm curious if he's projecting himself onto Graham a little bit, and that's why he's like sort of this very noble, heroic figure.
That makes a lot of sense, because I was shocked that the gay character lived until the end. Like, once she entered his apartment, that's why I thought that the fiancé was going to live and not Graham, because I feel like, you know,
you play by the basic rules of thrillers, you definitely expect Sam to live. I also liked, because you guys were talking about whether Sam would really die if he got a heel through his eyeball.
Mythbusters.
But I thought it was cool. Just like, I think it's a visually cool way to kill somebody, just as a movie trope.
Especially because those specific shoes.
Yes, that's like what I was going to say.
To step on your line.
No, but like they show off the shoes in a really weird way where like the heel, it looks like a knife and it has this menacing quality about it. And so it kind of pays off when it goes through his eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of like plant and payoff situations like that in this movie that I think are done pretty well. And like when you said that you thought that Graham was going to be like a creepy person, one of the reasons I like this movie and think it's pretty good is that it manipulates expectations a lot.
Totally.
To make you think one thing and then something else.
Yeah, I
happens.
Like movies that play into like, you've seen a bunch of movies, we're going to play against that.
Yeah.
It was good because it was like genuinely like the earliest indication that, because I truly had no context for this movie, and like the earliest indication you get is the music. like, even before you know that Jennifer Jason Leigh is crazy, you hear that she's crazy in the music, and then you see it. But it, like, I don't know, it unfolds kind of cool.
The way she kind of, like, sneaks up on her right as she enters the apartment, like, doesn't knock on the door, just, like, comes in. Allie's crying on the floor. She gets, like, super close to her before she is like, hey, I'm here. Yeah. That was sort of, like, the first indicator that there was something off about her. But it takes a while after that before you see any more, like, alarming behavior from,
like,
her.
Like, you almost get why Allie was befriending her, because she's vulnerable. She needs a friend.
Allie gets busted going through her shit. Allie's the creepy one
at first. That
was great.
We're like, that's a great...
I forgot about that.
Like, yeah, she's going through her shit and, like,
putting on her clip-on earrings.
Yeah. I think I might love this movie.
I have such a funny choice. I'm like, yeah, Hetty's got clip-on earrings that she's going to give you as a present.
She was so touched. She was like, really? You want to give me your clip-ons?
And you're right. It pays off a lot of stuff well that it sets up earlier, which actually made me sad for the current state of a lot of movies, where I feel like things are just so much lazier now than they used to be. Like, the when they insert that shot of her throwing away the receipt from the pet store when she bought the dog, just to have the lie of her being like, I found the dog. They were giving it away.
Yeah.
It was just like such a small thing for, like, just another, like, she's already clearly crazy. And, like, they did a great job of showing us that.
Yeah. Like, but they literally show you the receipts.
Yeah. They're like, she's crazy. Are really checking off every box of, like, back when, I don't know, they probably did focus groups for this and be like, where'd she get the dog from? And they're like, ah.
When they cared.
I did feel like, oh, they really give a fuck about this B movie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a fucking thriller that, like, knows what it is, but, like, they really care about it.
Oh, we haven't talked about the weird bald guy rapes scene yet. Like, we talk about when he comes back as the
hero.
Almost hero of the entire movie. But the scene where, like, you know that he's...
You know he's a creep.
You know, from moment one, because he basically humiliates Bridget Fonda at the beginning. Which, like, you could argue is a business power move, but he's, like, it was humiliating
for
her in every way.
He would have never talked that way if she was a man.
Exactly.
That conversation would have gone entirely differently.
Right. And then, but he interpreted humiliating her as, like, I probably made her pretty horny just then by really just crushing her spirit.
Even that has a good sort of high and low to it of they set you up, you don't like him, but she does such a great job that he's like, this is great, like, you're really good. And so she lets him in a little bit. He takes advantage of that and then is a creep. But then that information from when... She was like, here's my other number so we can talk about it later of my neighbor. Here's my neighbor's phone number.
Cool.
And that ends up being important.
It is crazy because, you know, you could very easily assume that once he's an asshole to her at the beginning and then the second time you encounter him, he's like, wow, you did a great job. That could very easily be like, and that's it for that character.
Yeah.
That was his purpose.
Right.
But then when he comes back in that... I wanted to just zoom in on his face for that entire weird, lecherous scene where he's like, so, you know, like, just a very creepy massage. And Bridget Fonda does a great job of seeming very upset that it's happening. And you know she's going to, like, beat him up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he's not, you know.
I like how she gives this,
beat him up.
Volleyball, like, clasps her hands and just... Sorry.
And then, that helped. That really illustrated it. Because
the listeners at home know.
We needed that. You needed to hit the mic.
That was a volleyball noise.
Nearly knocked the mic over to demonstrate the move.
But yeah, he immediately goes into, he rubs her down for a second and is immediately expecting a blowjob. And is like just fucking whipping his, busting his dick out.
I want to use that line now. Can I at least turn around?
I mean,
very romantic.
What a dumb idiot.
And I also want to use that volleyball move at some point.
Just mash a guy in the balls.
Twice the power.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, you bitch. But then he saves the day later. He was like, you know what? I'm actually a pretty good guy.
I'm a rapist, but I'm not bad.
I tried to rape you, but guess what?
Well, then
what?
He has
I'm
to leave. He's like kind of raping someone. Like
he's kind of raping someone else.
He's doing his same fucking back rub move later. And is like his older secretary, which was another great casting choice. And that's even fun.
Yeah.
Because she's like, he's like, shut off all the computers right now. And she just leans back because she like wants it because she fucking hates him too.
Yeah. Oh my God. That guy's story is crazy because then Jennifer Jason Leigh calls him and is, you know, like we find out
Hedy
he has
calls his wife and like pretends to be Allie.
And she's like, you know, like you're going to be in big trouble if you ever say anything. But then just insane to me. I wonder if that happens in the book. Insane to me that he's like half redeemed when he's like, this guy is bad. Just kidding. He's fine. Just kidding. He's a rapist. But he might also save the day. But also, he's dead now.
I really like how it's all real world struggles to me and all shit that I feel like everybody can empathize with, where it's like, she's got a fucking amazing apartment that's cheap and they want to hold on to it at all costs.
Yeah.
And that's a huge source of agony for her, where she doesn't want to kick her out, but she has to because it's a fucking great place. And then she's like got her own business and she's got all this work stress. And then it's like job stress, relationship stress, housing stress. It's like the shit everybody deals with, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie's about.
It's true.
She just happened to get a crazy roommate.
It's the other scene. The last time I'll mention the rapey guy, unless we have more reason to.
Mitch
is Mitch.
I'm gonna keep calling him Ned.
Mitch. Ryerson. Mitch Meyerson.
But the scene after that happens, I thought was very it was very well written to me. Like right before, Hedy calls his wife, and you're like, oh yeah, she's crazy. But that scene where Allie is saying, like, oh, it's actually my fault, and, like, now this is going to sabotage my career because I, you know, rightfully volleyballed this guy in the nuts for being a rapist, but she's like, you know, and this is somehow going to ruin my business. And that felt like, I was like, whoa, that's a very real moment in the movie because, that's not an atypical reaction to being, you know, like assaulted, and it's also probably not an atypical reaction to what actually would have happened.
Yeah.
And so that was weird. And that was sort of a moment where I was like, if I was Allie, I would be pro Hedy at that moment when she was saying like, what, you're not going to do something about this? It's clearly not your fault. And it's like, okay, Hedy, I'm with you. And then she does something fucking crazy and then kills like five
killing
people.
The dog definitely was like the irredeemable thing that she does. So
but
the
she doesn't kill the
really...
cat, so I like her.
What does Kathy Bates kill? She kills something.
In Misery?
Yeah. Glenn Close kills.
Oh, a
Glenn
rabbit.
Close kills a rabbit.
Glenn Close kills a rabbit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Glenn Close.
She boils it in a pot.
She's a wild child. I love her. I love Damages. We should all watch it.
Fatal Attraction, I feel like, is started to get the ball rolling of what leads to single white female.
That's true, because Fatal Attraction is what, like 88, 89, something like that, a few years before?
The late 80s, early 90s was the time for this genre of thriller.
It's very good.
I want to talk about for like the longest time watching this movie, I was like, oh, there's so much female nudity. There's just so many nipples, so many naked lady bodies. Let's see some dick. It's not going to happen. But it happens. We see a sliver.
You see a sliver of Steven Weber's dick.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see
Sam,
when he, like, because he does whip
dick?
Out of bed after he gets his blowjob, and he's upset. Hey, you get a little full frontal action in there.
Man, I saw his butt and I was like, that's good. He's got a good butt.
Actually, I like all the nudity in it because even the female nudity, it's not necessarily like sexual in a couple of the scenes. It's just like, it's
just nips.
People are naked.
Nips on nips on nips.
Which I think there should be more nudity in movies.
Everyone should be naked all the time.
In like a realistic way, because it definitely plays into like she gets naked around her and Allie's weirded out by how often Hedy just like takes her shirt off and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always think it's weird when like two characters are in bed and they're not naked. Like just you're an actor being naked. And I think that, and I'm not trying to sound like
Ben
a fucking sleazebag dude.
Porn ring. Yeah.
But it's like, no, it's the same thing.
You're
like,
get naked. Yeah.
Get naked. You're in the picture.
You want to be in the movie? You want to be in the coffee picture? You take your top off.
Nobody sits in bed like that. Ice your nips.
Here's an ice cube. You do the rest.
My favorite is when there's a sex scene in the movie and the actress is like clearly not agreed to show any nudity. So like she's got her bra on while they're just banging it out. That's how you say it, right?
If it were realistic, everyone would be naked except the man is for some reason wearing socks still.
Mm.
That's how sex really goes.
No, yeah. For me, sex is as clothed as possible. And zero eye contact.
Well, for sure, zero eye contact. Let's not ruin the experience by remembering.
Don't look
who
at my tears.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we saw some dick. That was nice.
I'm gonna go back.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Is it worth the peek?
Not really.
I almost got a computer virus watching the movie. Okay. Never mind.
I had to subscribe to a 1 week free trial of Stars via Amazon.
Okay, just I rented it. I rented it on iTunes. Oh, I'm the only one supporting this town.
This town. Oh yeah, because your porn ring is run out.
Yeah.
Of here. Hey, ladies.
All right, these guys all worked hard on this movie that we all liked, and I'm the only one.
We pulled Ben off the street. He was barking at women on the street.
Smile.
You want to be a star?
Let me see that smile.
I got some ice cubes.
Like that walk.
Oh God. The other thing. The other thing I want to talk about is, and I don't even know if it's worth mentioning, but a lot of the movie, it wouldn't have played out the way it had Allie not been so nice and or naive.
For sure, yeah.
She's so accommodating to Hetty that it's almost infuriating. I'm like, she's bought all your clothes and that she... It just,
but that felt kind of real to me too. Of like, she's really trying to make the best out of this situation. Where I feel like it'd be possible for some audience members to sort of switch to Hetty's side at any point by being like, "Well, Allie was kind of mean to her at this moment or this moment," and like, but Allie's so overly nice to her, even at the very end where Allie's like, "I'm still trying to forgive her," and blah blah blah.
Like
till the very end, she's absolutely too nice and forgiving to everyone.
I am truly shocked that the ending is her thinking about how she's going to try to forgive the woman that almost murdered her best friend and did murder her fiancé.
Right.
And killed her dog.
Killed her dog.
Gave and killed her a dog. Killed her a dog. I'm going to kill you a dog.
Kill your dog. Hey, dog, you want to be a star?
I do like that. That's just surprised me. And, I mean, they do. She has no friends. She's trying to get over this breakup.
It's just,
Also, another weird
she's
thing.
She's in the fashion industry-ish.
The fashion
computer
software
hotties. There's, but also in that ending segment, there's a weird reference to Graham saying, like, Sam's dead, get over it, basically. Of like, I spent a while mourning Sam, but Graham said I had to move on. I was like, is that really what you say to your best friend after they were murdered by the same person you were almost murdered by? Graham.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm just remembering she thinks she killed Graham and Allie walks in on her in the shower and it's like really weird. And then she stares at her bloody clothes and she blames it on her period.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. I didn't.
She's like, do you want tea? Even then, she's like, when she's trying
to
escape.
Cramping? Yeah, you're cramping because tea can help that. I was like, that was a sink full of blood. And she was,
it's
just like,
so much blood.
She's like, it always happens when I'm wearing
my clothes.
Are you
not supposed to bleed that much when you're on your period?
You just wring it out into your sink until it clogs. Like, what the fuck was that? She clotted their bathroom sink.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
No, I can totally
with
relate.
Her womanhood.
I'm a very nice person, so I like really get it.
Oh, I thought you were saying I'm a very heavy
bleeder.
I bleed so
gallons.
Much.
Every time.
I think OJ was innocent. She bled to death. She just got a really bad period.
OJ innocent.
I just started watching The People versus OJ. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, it's good. You got to watch the ESPN documentary.
I'm going to watch that as well.
Yeah. I've seen it twice.
Nice.
I'm going to watch it again.
So, yeah, I guess it boils down to just the relationship between these two characters is so complex and interesting. Like, we got this nice lady who just, like, wants to be nice and accommodating. We got this woman with a personality disorder that also makes her homicidal. What? Put them together. And what do you, like,
it's
what?
A good, it's a good advertisement for mental health care.
Yeah.
True. Her parents do care what happens to her.
Yeah, they tried to help her out.
It wasn't like a parental neglect thing.
Even the weirdo at
they're sending her checks.
The cash checks.
That horny cashier.
Yeah, her boss is like, your dad's calling here.
He says he's going to come on down to New York City if you don't get your shit together.
And she's like, I've got to go.
She's like, you're an actress, right?
You're an yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
Ooh, it looks good.
I do.
She's like, maybe I'm going to go blonde. She's like, oh my God.
Then she comes. Oh my God, I'm coming. Coming on the clock. Very cool. But I also just like on a very basic level, like the fact that even though we don't necessarily know what Allie's job is, she is both clearly very good at her job, owns her own business, and is a nice person, where I feel like that is not where most movies go. If a woman's good at her job, she's usually not nice.
Right. We've all seen The Devil Wears Prada.
2 weeks notice, etc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an interesting portrayal. I liked. They made a lot of choices that I really was on board with in that respect.
I really liked this movie.
Yeah. Everyone watch it.
Find single white female.
Start
referencing it so I'm not alone.
Yeah, because 100% I can't. I wonder what the percentages of people
I've definitely
who
said
don't know what
like
it is.
Said something along the lines of like she's single white femaling you.
I don't
and
know what
no
I would think if you said that
about.
To me. I would just be like, wow, this guy hates single white females.
He hates
single
women.
White femaling you. Mm-hmm. Move out.
Do you have a lot of friends who've had horrible situations like that that you're having to
dropping it constantly?
Drop that reference all the time?
Yeah, I've definitely been in Sam's position many a time.
You can't stop banging your ex-wife. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. She's got her hooks on me. I keep going to her place to tell her I'm with somebody new, and she keeps seducing me.
And then you just fuck
I love how he talks that off, though. He's like, she was sad.
Yeah, she was drunk.
So I fucked her. Like, it's like, Sam, you rascal. Yeah. I don't like that.
What I do like is that
slap.
Oftentimes, a woman who is like the other party of a cheating situation is
Lisa.
The one who's like targeted to be like, you're the villain, you homewrecker, you awful person. But she's like never seen on screen. We don't even mention her again.
We hear her
really.
Once. We hear her. She's like, is Sam there?
But I like that all of Allie's anger is targeted toward Sam.
Until it's immediately not.
Until it's not anymore.
So she's like, wait, he sent me a letter?
He showed up unannounced.
He sent me a letter.
They're fucking making out and like about to fuck. And meanwhile, Hetty's watching in the window and the old lady spots her.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The old lady from like who's been an old lady in 100 movies.
She started acting, you know, she was in 400 movies from ages like 67 to 72. She's just a prolific.
God, I can't wait to go on her IMDb because I'm sure it's all like old neighbor, old lady, old librarian.
Where was Hetty's? We saw Hetty at work once, didn't we?
She works at a bookstore.
Hetty works at a bookstore. Yeah,
she does. Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel stigmatized.
Do you work
what
at
do
a bookstore?
You mean,
as a psychopath who's worked at a bookstore? I feel stigmatized.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, you probably haven't also listened to this episode of the podcast because we spoil the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, you shouldn't have listened to this. Yeah, you made a huge mistake. I do like at the end of the movie that they insinuate if you don't forgive the person that wronged you, you will become them.
That is that implication.
Yeah, that is kind of the
which
lesson.
Is really a weird lesson for
you know what? I kind of want to see Allie as a crazy person. Was there a sequel? Let's see.
There was a sequel
people.
That came out like 10 years ago that was like a direct-to-video
really?
Type thing. Yeah.
The The last thing I want to say is that we do see, like, there's a short beat where Graham kind of saves Allie whenever...
Why couldn't he have saved Allie instead of the rapist?
Well, he does.
But if he'd woken up, like, 10 minutes earlier, that whole weird situation would have been avoided.
They had to draw out the tension.
Yeah, they had to draw out the tension. The rapist is there to draw out the tension. And it led to the big, like, trailer moment that I remember of... him ripping the tape off her face, and it's a close up of Bridget Fonda, and she says, "Look out, she's crazy."
Yeah.
Wait. So whenever Ned Ryerson goes to confront her, he never gets into the apartment, right? Like the neighbor or the landlord or something shoos them away, or does he get in?
He gets in. Yeah, because she's that's actually another fuck out.
He finds her.
She goes to the basement to get Allie's bags, and she crawls into it to see if she can fit a body in there.
Yes.
And then she brings the bag back up.
She's deliberate.
And Mitch, of course, notices that it has Allie's name on it, and so he barges his way in and locks her out. Right.
But I also can't imagine speaking that way to a stranger, like, "You do know her." I don't know.
Yeah.
But then he goes in, and just like a series of big reactions from Mitch Meyerson, saying, like, you know, he's like, "You do know her." And he pushes in and he goes, "What the fuck?" And then he straddles the woman he almost raped not three days ago.
Yeah, that would have been really fucked up if he was like, "Now I got you.
Time to finish what I started. I'm a fucking pervert." I wasn't too upset when he got whacked.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to be sad about
whacked
it.
Whacked as in, like, mobster style killed, or like whacked over the head? I forget what happens. I didn't get to this.
He was whacked over the head, right? He was whacked.
Yeah, I feel like it's a pretty vague way that he dies.
Mm. Okay.
Ooh, steampunk check. This is the first movie we've ever talked about that does not have.
I was wondering if you would be able to shoehorn a steampunk thing in here.
No steampunk culture in this movie, That's why I like it. And also, I think this movie predates steampunk culture.
That is true.
I was in San Francisco again this week, and I saw the steampunk guy again.
Oh, no, the accordion pants guy?
The accordion pants guy with all the
steampunk
sweet...
on every episode.
There's a guy in San Francisco who I was so mad. I went to the same... I remember the cross streets. I'm like, let me go back and see if he's still there. And fucking, of course, it's a Monday. He's still there.
Oh, sure.
Grow up.
I know I'm, like, having a very hard time arriving at a point, but I swear I did have one. That I like that she ends up ultimately saving herself. Like, there's that brief moment where, like, Graham kind of steps in, but then I feel like he gets hit or something. And that,
Graham gets hit a lot.
So then Hetty takes her to the basement, and then they have that fight down there. So I like that, like, she doesn't have to be saved by a man. She saves herself.
I like that she throws a rat on Hetty.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, she's going to squeal at the rat, and then she's going to be caught. But she has the foresight to be like, let me throw the rat on my enemy.
Yeah, she does wind up being unbelievably strong. Like,
she does
some pretty acrobatic stuff.
She's a software developer.
When she flips over the back and stabs
her. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty great.
She's a software developer for the fashion industry. Of course she's strong.
She can do anything.
They set up that screwdriver for a while too.
Anyone else have any final thoughts about the movie?
I liked this movie so much.
Yeah, thanks for introducing it to us.
Yeah,
hey, my pleasure. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on
this
to talk about
never
it
never happened.
I know. The final thing we need to talk about is whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test. Duh, it does.
For sure.
Yeah, in almost every scene. Good job, movie.
Yay.
A lot of the ones we've talked about don't even attempt it.
Time for nipples.
We rate the movie on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of the women.
It's like a show about, like, women. So we rate it on a nipple scale.
I like the odd number of nipples. Okay.
Yeah, that's how a human body works.
Well, okay.
Five sets of nipples?
Five. No.
So 10 nipples total?
5 nipples.
Okay. Five.
We've all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just not always lactating.
All right.
Unless some of us are.
What are the types of animals that, like, their penis will, like, withdraw into their body? Like whales? It's like that for some people's
nipples.
That's
also human menace.
Like... sometimes women's nipples just shrink into
their
body.
Right.
Yeah. I aspire to have no nipples one day. It's another one of my bucket list things. I'm going to flip a table. What was the other thing?
If you just got to go... just suck your nipples right in.
They really a mind over matter kind of thing. I'm going to think my nipples away. That's
and then,
the
like,
name
you
got to
pop them back out.
Book. I'm going to write a self-help
book. Please pop your nipples out. Oh, God, I miss them. Just hold your breath and let them. And you got to go. And you go.
I'm going to write a self-help book called Think Your Nipples Away.
Please do. I'll buy it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Oh, okay. You go first in rating it.
I would give this movie, because it has such an interesting representation of like the relationships, and a lot of tropes that we see, especially of this genre, are subverted and things like that. I would give this movie like a 4 nipples.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I'm giving it 4 nipples.
Wait, I have to describe the nipples.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to describe them.
Oh, fun. All right.
Two of them.
That was a real half-assed fun.
Okay, it's fun.
Anyway,
I'm
excited to describe my nipples. Mm.
Okay.
The two of them belong to Allie.
Empowered.
Yeah.
Polite.
Very empowered nipples. They're very nice.
Uh-huh.
She's beautiful.
Very accommodating.
Yeah, New York and cool.
Mm-hmm.
New York and cool?
Uh-huh.
And then the other two belong... They're 4 nice nipples. I give up.
You don't want to talk about Hetty's nipples? Is that where this is going?
You her don't kinda, like BPD nips?
They're not as nice as Allie's. I mean, that's part of the story.
Right.
Well, but like a court... Are they... Well, we see both of them. They look about... I think we see Hetty's nipples more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hetty's naked a lot in this movie.
She's naked a lot. And she's hot. Mm-hmm. She's a hot babe.
I'm for it.
Into it.
I'm giving it 4 nipples.
You're going to give her 2 nipples, 4 nipples?
I'm giving her 2 nipples, 4 nipples.
Wow. I'm going to give it 4 nipples as well.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them belong to Hetty's dead twin. 2 of them belong to Allie's computer program nipple ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Your turn.
Okay. I'm giving 2 to the old neighbor. Who
good
was it,
representation.
Yeah, we see
Hettie,
a woman over 50.
Uh-huh.
Hettie,
you know what? Yeah, let's give them to both women over 50. I don't know if Mitch's secretary was, but she's definitely, you know, one of the older characters in the movie.
It's true.
And I'm giving her my other 2 nipples.
Are there any people of color in this movie?
No.
Very white.
It is very, very white. But and this is not to defend a lack of representation, but we really only know 5 or 6 characters in this entire movie. The cast is very small.
Yeah, but you can easily make Graham a person of color.
It's true. And then if he lived, that would be a double victory.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
This was a fun
Thanks.
One.
Yeah. This was fun.
Yeah.
We are now can now untie you.
Well, let's save the noises. It's so loud.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks again for being here.
Oh, thanks.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Find you on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of your question, no, I don't really.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to plug. You can go to my mostly unused social media. I'm Ben_Rogers on Twitter.
Follow
me. I tweet like, I don't know, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting off the internet. I'm done.
We're about to
quit the internet.
Push Ben off into the sea on an iceberg. Mm-hmm. Mm. This was his last stand.
Yeah. This is it for me. Well, this is a good send off.
Well, you went out on a high.
Yeah. I want my last words to be about single white female.
I tweet too much. I tweeted too much about my hamster on Valentine's Day. It got pointed out to me.
Oh,
it's okay. We had a fun night.
It got pointed out to you? Somebody's like, hey, we got to talk about your hamster thing.
Hey, we're worried. Did you spend all night with your hamster on Valentine's Day? No. I also watched The Jinx at my gay best friend's house. So, grow up.
Tone it down on the hamster shit.
So, I would never show my hamster The Jinx. She is too young.
Oh.
You can follow me on Twitter at HamburgerPhone.
Yeah, you can follow me at Caitlin Durante. You can also follow the podcast at BechtelCast.
We use it. We're not like the other shows that are like, follow us on Twitter and then we don't tweet anything.
Yeah.
We tweet stuff.
We tweet a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Not like me. Not some schmuck like me.
Yeah,
don't
Ben
follow
Rogers.
Me. Follow these guys.
Follow us.
Yeah.
We got hamsters and content.
They'll entertain you. Me, I just want to... I'm like... try not to write about things I'm angry about on Twitter. I try not to be a 65-year-old angry grandfather.
Speaking of angry grandfathers on Twitter, my dad has more Twitter followers than me yet again.
What?
I had him beat for a solid 6 months, and then he had some sort of surge, and now he has 6,500 followers on Twitter. It's fucking wild.
He's buying them. He's buying them.
I'm no. He. Oh, yeah. He. I wish. He's buying them. I wish I could give
he's
him out, that
he's
much outsmarting
credit. You.
He broke some news about the Boston Bruins, and then suddenly he's got like 1,400 more followers.
Is he a journalist? How does he have so many followers?
Yeah, he's a hockey reporter.
Oh, I see.
So whenever something hockey happens, he gets a surge. It's not fair.
It's hard to compete with that.
It's not fair.
Buy some followers.
I'm going to buy followers and be like, fuck you, Dad.
all right. Well, I think this is a great note to end the podcast on.
Don't follow.
Fuck
Loft
you,
is
Dad.
At Ledger.
Bye, everybody.
Loft is at Ledger. Unfollow and block.
Fuck you, Dad. Here's my podcast about women.
Unfollow and block Mike Loftus.
Okay. Well, thanks again, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Unfollow and block.